Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money audio commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:38, and that is Pacific Standard Time. And I apologize for the early recording because the market is not yet shut, but I have to jump on a plane to Las Vegas for a meeting at the trust company that I'm on the board of. But when we look at the market today, there have been some very big dynamic moves. Certainly, what we have is that the yen has had a big move, 2 full cents. Sorry, 2 yen. The oil price is up $3.58, so a clear upward dynamic. U.S. Treasuries on the longs on the long bond are down 2 full points. So that is another emphatic move. So, and then stock markets are pretty much unchanged. There has been some steadying in the Italian index. A lot of bad news has already been priced in there. Yields have doubled since March. But when we look at that index in here today, it is up 2.3%. It is the worst performing index in among major markets this year. And most of that decline happened at the beginning of the year. Now, obviously, there is the referendum on Sunday, and everyone is watching what is happening with Banca di Monte Paschi di Siena, that is BMPS in Italy. A little bit of a tongue twister, and they've reconstituted the shares, so now it is trading at 20 euros, but what do we see here? That it is still a share price that is under some pretty severe duress, and they are racing to get their bond swap done. Now, there is a strong likelihood that they will be able to do that. That having had this big move in yields, we've heard nothing from the ECB recently. Then, does that hold out the possibility that we might get some surprise move on Monday after the referendum result? The euro is barely steady here, at the lower side of its range. There has been a distinct lack of clear upper dynamics. We have seen clear upper dynamics twice before at this level, but it is very much open to question whether the Europeans want a stronger currency. Certainly they need a weaker one when you have revolutionary ballot boxes being opened in on Sunday in Italy, but right across the region next year. They need a weaker currency, and if they're going to, and it really is a very big question. There are two big questions. One is, are there rules for small countries and other rules for big countries? That's one question, and that obviously points towards governance at its most fundamental. But perhaps an even bigger question is whether the creditor nations want the euro. If they really do want the euro, then they're going to have to abandon fiscal probity and go for fiscal stimulus. There is a very clear reason why so many people are so very angry. It is because they have had to take very bitter medicine for nearly a decade already, and that has led to sharply deflationary economic environments. So the answer, of course, would be to simply give them what they want, and to have some fiscal stimulus to try and get some people back to work and better standards of living overall. And having a weaker currency would be a big part of that. Well, the fact that the dollar is so very strong is both a factor of the potential for additional growth in the US, but on top of that, it is that there are problems just about everywhere else, and this dollar is really very strong against the yen. And of course, the Japanese are more than happy to have a weaker currency. They are backing away again from negative interest rates, and they're going the all-out quantitative easing way of addressing their particular problems. When we look at the Nikkei, then it has broken upwards, and perhaps that is what we can also anticipate from the European stock markets if the euro does in fact deteriorate further. Then, when because the Because the dollar has been so strong, the gold price was weaker in here today, down by about $15. And this still looks like a downtrend overall. When we look at it on a medium-term basis, the $1,200 area was a potential area of support. It has fallen through that. And a very, very clear upward dynamic is going to be required to check the decline overall. And of course, it is the strength of the dollar is really acting as a headwind to gold. There is, of course, the demonetization trend that is going on in India is an additional concern. But perhaps more important than either is that what we have now got is positive real interest rates, because so much additional inflation has already been priced in without it actually appearing. That what would be really beneficial for gold is if inflation was going up faster than interest rates. That might yet, in fact, be the case. What we've definitely seen is that gold prices have fallen while bond yields have risen. And they are both pricing in an identical scenario. It is that inflation will appear at some point next year. Now, if indeed it does not appear, then this positive real interest rate environment would reverse. There has been a lot already priced into this market. It is accelerating on the downside. We have been falling for 4 consecutive weeks. There is no sign yet that it is over, but we also know that it is a short-term overbought condition, and this is a 2-week period in which we have a substantial number of catalysts. Today we had the OPEC meeting, we have the Italian referendum on Sunday, and then we have the Fed meeting on the 13th and 14th. When we look at the oil price, then it's still in a range, and that was a fairly predictable range considering the big move that we had at the beginning of the year. It is now rallying from the lower side to the upper side, and when we look at the contract table, then anyone who has an appetite for hedging out into the latter half of next year can get a $4 premium over prices right now. If they want to hedge into December of next year, they could hedge at $54. And $54 is pretty attractive for a significant number of producers. Now, when we look at the chart overall, then it is a range, and ranges generally mean that expectations go down, but a range will persist until a vacuum of supply above or demand below the market evolves. And we don't have any evidence just yet that a vacuum of supply above the market has yet formed. What we already know is that that OPEC has been talking the price up, and what they have failed to do is to come through with a clear indication that they are going to, in fact, reduce supply. It is a very competitive global environment overall, and we can certainly assume that non-OPEC members would jump on the chance to be able to capture some market share if OPEC does, in fact, start to reduce its supply. So we can anticipate that this is going to be a volatile environment, but prices are certainly rallying from the lower side to the upper side of the range at present. And that has been really quite good news overall for major oil producers. The FTSE Oil and Gas Producers Index has held this progression of high reaction lows all year and bounced from the region of the 200-day moving average in here today again. And when we look at, for example, copper, copper prices have been so very weak for so very long that this emphatic breakout has broken that medium-term downtrend, and this does now look like a recovery trajectory overall. When we look at, some of the mining indices, then what we are very much presented with are uptrends that they have been pretty much rallying all year and have held these progression of higher reaction lows despite quite a bit of volatility on other markets. And yes, they have priced in a lot of good news recently. There are short-term overbought conditions overall. And there is the potential that we get some reversionary pullbacks, but as long as the medium-term progression of higher reaction lows is intact, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. The one exception, the FTSE mining index and the Australian resources index are both exhibit pretty similar chart patterns. The Canadian materials index is more weighted with energy, so that is now right in the region of its moving average, and this is where it will need to demonstrate support if it is going to continue to advance. When we look at Australia overall, then it is a choppy uptrend, and that is not a particularly profound statement that over the last year it has had a very, very choppy environment overall, and it is now pretty close to a previous area of resistance around 5,500. So then there is the potential that we get a little bit of consolidation here overall. But I think that the Australian dollar is something that has sort of been off the radar for a while, but it broke downwards last week. And it is now trading back below the moving average, and there is the potential for additional US dollar strength that we could see that the Aussie dollar starts to trade a little bit lower. That might be better for the stock market in nominal terms at least, but it is unlikely to be great for example, the bond market. Australia has been such a destination for foreign flows because of wide interest rate differentials, but there is the clear prospect of that interest rate differential contracting over the next 6 months or so. And the New Zealand market has been among the best performers overall because of that wide interest rate differential, and the index has now closed its overextension relative to the trend mean. This isn't the first time it's traded below the mean, but on previous occasions, when it has pulled back, then it has bounced emphatically. So we have some evidence of steadying, but the lows from 2 weeks ago are absolutely going to have to hold if this bull market overall is going to persist. And obviously, the New Zealand dollar has also not been immune from from dollar strength, and it is now right in the region of the moving average. It is still a little bit stronger than the Aussie dollar over the last week or two, but that moving average is going to have to hold. That also represents the progression of higher reaction lows. This is a rather interesting environment overall because the dollar has been so very strong. And this is now a question of whether that is going to continue. When we look at the bond markets, then and I think a point that is well worth highlighting is that the first example that we looked at the chart seminar last week was bond yields. And I've been teaching the chart seminar now for nearly 10 years, and that was the first time that the first example somebody asked for was bond yields. And I think that it tells you that we really have had a very, very big move indeed, that prices have now broken the medium-term progression of lower rally highs, and they are oversold in the short term. And today was another day where there was quite a bit of selling pressure overall. This stronger dollar and inflationary expectations and expectations for fiscal stimulus and infrastructure spending and a pro-growth at any cost attitude in Washington is really helping to move all of these metrics. And there is the one clear difference this time around is that LIBOR is also rising, and LIBOR has been rising all year. So the discount rate, where people really start to think about relative value and how do you price bonds? Will you price them off of the discount rate, which is also the Fed funds rate? And of course, we know that it went up a year ago, and there is a very strong chance that it is going to go up again. And this chart doesn't particularly give it the it doesn't give us a great idea, but what we obviously know is that prices went are the Interest rate went absolutely nowhere for a very long time and is now just starting to rise. And that is a clear change. So there is a lot to play for. Now, what we have had are very large moves overall. And most particularly, those moves have happened outside of the stock market. The stock market has rallied, and it looks like a lot on a daily chart. But in fact, on a weekly chart, when you talk about percentages and how much we've had in a rally, it is really not that much overall, particularly relative to the currency, bond, and commodity markets. And that also tells us that there is still a lot of indecision out there, and that is despite the fact that the stock market is trading at new all-time highs and has bounced from the region of the upper side of an underlying trading range, and that trading range, where the surprises were on the downside, persisted for a year and a half. And there is the likelihood that, and I think, and I would consider it a likelihood that we could have surprises on the upside next year. And I think with that, I'm going to leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.